everyone, and welcome to another brand new episode of John and Wendy Explain the World. I am John in that title, and I'm joined by my better half every week, Wendy Lee. How are you?
And I am Wendy in that title. I'm good.
How are things? I mean, we've had a heck of a week. A lot of stuff happening. News stories are breaking all the time. This feels like we're almost 100% back to normal, Wendy, even though there is that variant out there and we're getting those new laws new rules that we have to put the masks back on again, at least in our area of the country. But it feels like
It's LA County.
Yeah, it's LA County. Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
Right.
I think. Sorry, yeah, you're y'all. Not. I mean, you left your heart here in LA, huh?
Yeah, but like this, but it feels like every day five or six stories are happening, five or six announcements, trailers, movies are dropping.
Yes,
it's all back all the way up, and we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. How do you feel? Am I off on this? Do you feel that way too?
About like things are,
yeah,
quote unquote normal. Yeah, I certainly feel like things are starting to get back to normal, especially when we went to Disneyland. I think we talked about this last week where I felt like it was 80% unmasked versus 20% masked. And I even saw a Disneyland blogger was there today at Rope Drop, which is you are allowed to be in like the front portion of the park, but you can't get to all the other fun lands until like a certain time. Can they literally drop the rope? So it's called Road Drop. You get to like venture into the park, walk and not run. And that photo showed, I think I literally counted two people with a mask on. And wow. Like everybody else. And I don't mean like they're just kind of like, you know, there's some space and distance. No, this is like Comic-Con crowd closeness.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a screening next week here in San Diego, but it's attached to a Comic-Con at home panel presentation. I'm hesitating because I don't know if that means the whole theater is going to be chock full of people. But then again, like you said, we're not under the mask embargo here.
And you can always wear it.
Right? I can always wear it, right? So it shouldn't be an issue.
I mean, that's you got to do you. You can't just be like, because the next person doesn't want to wear it. That has no, that shouldn't affect your decision.
It's for snake eyes.
If you want to wear it, great.
Yeah, snake eyes.
If you don't want to wear it,
So maybe I will do it. We shall see. But we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Speaking of screenings, the Suicide Squad was screened a couple of days ago. We're getting our first reactions from some of the reviewers who were invited to go. WB is legendary at inviting only certain reviewers to go for the first round of a screening and then bringing in some of the other critics to see the rest of the stuff. There was also a Ted Lasso season 2 premiere event last night, which was really well covered. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here on the show for sure. But just a reminder, the Streamlabs and the Super Chats are open. Send in some support for Wendy and I doing the show. Any questions you might have, any conversations you want us to have here on the show, we are open to all of it. Entertainment-based, entertainment-related. We'd love to hear from you. So as we go along, feel free to do so. And after we're going to get into that, we're going to get into what's trending. And then at the end of the show, our recommendations for what's coming out this week and maybe review a couple of movies that we've got on the rundown. Wendy, where shall we go first?
I mean, I'm very excited about these Suicide Squad kind of initial reactions, social reactions that are up. So, everybody and their mother was tweeting about it. So literally, there was no way to kind of avoid reading about it. But let's see, a friend over here. I just lost his tweet. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Eric Davis writes, I had the best time watching the Suicide Squad. It is a swing for the fences kind of comic book movie. And I love that. Yeah. It's big, bold, visually stunning. You will see James Gunn's horror roots splattered all over this thing. It's violent. It's hilarious, angry, but also sweet. And as I was reading through some of the critics, fellow critics, their reactions, the violence seems to be a key word in all of their social reactions, which I think if you didn't get that from all the trailers and all the marketing, maybe we haven't been watching the same thing, because you can kind of tell like it's called Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You know, this is very much the route that they're going to go down. And I think, you know, for a director like James Gunn, and he's even said, I think in a tweet somewhere, he's like, this is how I wanted to shoot all of my movies.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm happy for him.
And also, David Ayer crawled so James Gunn could run, right? I mean, they've been incredible with each other on Twitter, going back and forth. You know, James Gunn has done nothing but compliment David Ayer the whole time. David Ayer saying, oh, hard R. Oh, interesting. You know, because that's what he wanted for his Suicide Squad. But then, of course, the W executives at the time, not now, at the time, when then they cut up his film and it's a disjointed film. Even DC fans aren't the biggest fan of Suicide Squad for that reason. So he claims there's a cut of his out there somewhere that would probably give you a better idea of what he wanted to do with the movie. Who knows if we'll ever see it, but he's been very supportive of James Gunn going the hard route, going the violent route, going the more brutal, gory, horror aspects of it all. So it's great to see that a lot of these reviewers are seeing that as well and enjoying it. I like Carl Warner's one here.
Wendy. Love Carol Warner.
Yeah, Carol's great. She's at People there. She said, so this skeptic, she said, this skeptic loved Suicide Squad. So it's important. Skeptic. So she was probably like, I don't know. And she loved it. It is balls to the wall bonkers in very entertaining ways. For example, if you're wondering whether James Gunn and that super rad Suicide Squad cast would truly go there with the material and the R rating, indeed they do. And she put a gif of Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn coming out with the rain on her face. So, you know, if that's rain, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with this movie.
I mean, this is true. We don't know.
So, I mean, this is exciting. Is there another one that stood out for you as you were looking through?
Dorian Parks, baby. Friend of the show. Yeah. Little brother Dorian says, hashtag the Suicide Squad is an epic all-out war movie that demands to be seen on the big screen. Gunn does it again with a hilarious cast of oddballs and underused comic characters. Big laughs, bigger action. DC has another winner on his hands. That makes me so happy. Like, Gunn does it again. Gunn has a way with not obscure characters, but he's got this, like, you know, when he took on Guardians of the Galaxy, I hadn't heard about Guardians of the Galaxy before it got made into, you know, this major film. And I was like, what? And it, to me, it seemed like obscure and weird, and I was already for it. But the way he portrayed the characters, I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. But then you felt connected to the characters. Plus you understood the story. Right. And I can't wait to see this with Suicide Squad, which is like, it feels like what, 3 times more of the cast
than
Guardians of the Galaxy and more crazy madness. So this is great. All these tweets are making me very happy.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of people are speculating that a whole wave of them will get killed in the first few minutes. And then a next wave that's actually the Suicide Squad is the one we're going to be focusing on. We'll see. But also Brandon Davis over there, he said, the Suicide Squad is absolutely insane, violent as hell, raunchy, unforgiving. Raunchy, there you go. James Gunn is fully unleashed. It's sometimes overwhelming. It has moments of heart, humor, action, emotion, all of it, relentless. There's nothing like it. Damn. So that sounds like he put his actual heart into words there, Brandon Davis there. So, I mean, he's from comicbook.com. But, yeah, pretty hardcore, pretty open in his feelings about the movie and the different ways that it goes throughout the film with the heart, humor, action, emotion. And he also uses the word overwhelming. So maybe it's coming at you all at once. So there are moments where it's like, whoa, I need a moment to process it, but you know, you got to jump on the James Gunn train. That's how it works, man.
Yeah. I'm just really happy about all the positive reviews because we're all thinking, I think from the very first DC fandom, like footage and like segment that I saw, you can tell if the cast is into it and wants to, like, promoting the film didn't seem like work for them. Like, they just felt like they just a big mishmash. They just enjoyed each other's company. And it was all digital because it was that kind of top of the pandemic lockdown.
Right, right.
So when you see that, that energy is very contagious. And when the audience can feel it, we kind of want to go into the movie feeling that sort of energy from the cast, which I would say it's probably not something I felt from the first Suicide Squad.
Right.
And this goes to show James Gunn as a director. People, the cast, they enjoy working with him. I mean, I would say that the Guardians of the Galaxy cast came to bat for him when he was let go because of those tweets. And they all work. I think they signed like a whole thing. Like they wouldn't. Batista was very outspoken about this, how he didn't want to be involved in the film if he wasn't going to do it. So it goes to show that, you know, he is probably an amazing director to work with. Friendly set, fun set, creative, kind of gives me a Zack Snyder kind of vibe, too, because Snyder, they have a lot of, like, you know, you look at the Suicide Squad actors, they seem to enjoy working with him as well. Like, they just want to let the actors play. And I feel like that's what they got to do in Suicide Squad.
Absolutely. I want to highlight another one here from Mario Alegre. Surprise, surprise. James Gunn knows how to assemble a team of badass idiots and make magic happen. The Suicide Squad brings equal measures of gore and F-bombs all in the name of dumb juvenile entertainment. Easily the most fun I've had with any studio release this summer season. So shout out to Mario Alegre. Fantastic of him. He's a critic and writer for Proxima Matanda. So shout out to Proxima Tanda. So great to see him getting highlighted for his thoughts and his points of views as well. Good to see a Latino critic being highlighted.
On
a certain site. All right. Anyway, is there anyone else that stood out for you when you were looking at this?
The one that you just read, I was chuckling to myself at when I was reading it last night because it just dumb juvenile fun entertainment. Easily the best part, I think, is his last sentence of the tweet. Easily the most fun I've had with any studio release this summer. Like that makes it a lot of just, I just want to have fun going into seeing a movie like, you know, like Suicide Squad.
Right.
So, and I guess I'll, one more if we have time.
Yeah. Let's do it. What do
we got? From Jermaine Lussier, Suicide Squad is as funny, irrelevant, and there it is, violent as promised. What I like best though is its heart. Gunn really balances the silly and the serious in a way that two complements each other really well. I dig it. Also, this is the best part. King Shark rules.
King Shark.
So we already knew that, but
we did.
Nice to get additional confirmation.
Yeah, they did, a 3-minute vignette on YouTube about King Shark this past week, which is great. Hey, you know, and it's Stallone walking that path. You know, he's so smart about the decisions he makes a majority of the time with his career. This is another great step for him. Because remember, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So clearly an established relationship with James Gunn, and him reaching out to him to play King Shark is great. And some of those art pieces that Boss Logic did where you see King Shark in Rocky's trunks, just brilliant, just brilliant stuff. So great to see that overall here for sure. So I'm excited, Wendy. I'm going, from what I understand from the people, the publicist that I work with here down in San Diego, August 3rd is our screening. Do you have a screening already lined up for this?
For Suicide Squad?
Yes, for Suicide
Squad. Most likely not.
Oh, no. All right.
Most likely not. I don't know if I should reach out. I can try.
Yeah.
But I probably should. The worst answer can be a no.
Who's stopping Wendy Lee from seeing Suicide Squad? I want some names. I want some
talk
butts.
About that off camera.
All right. Fair enough. I want some butts. There we go. I'm just saying that. There you go. But yeah, so exciting news overall, though, because we've been waiting for and a lot of people were let down by that first Suicide Squad. Again, I don't put that on David Ayer. I put that on the studio. So it's nice to know that maybe they've learned their lessons here. And maybe, just maybe, since James Gunn is moving on to continue his Guardians of the Galaxy thing, maybe as a way of mending fences, they bring David Ayer back to do his the next installment and let him have free reign to do what he wanted to do with his version of Suicide Squad. We shall see. Because that man makes some good films. End of Watch, Fury. Those are fantastic films to enjoy from David Ayer for sure.
Yes.
All right, Wendy, let me see. I just want to make sure if there's any. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we got the Streamlabs Super Chats open. If you want to send in some support, I will pin it in the chat as well. And where are we off to next, Wendy?
Well, I think we should all put on our Indiana Jones fedora and talk about Antonio Banderas joining the cast, of Indiana Jones 5. I feel like at this point, if you're an actor, you're either in Knives Out 2 or you're Indiana Jones 5. So everybody's joining these movies, which is going to be incredible. So Antonio Banderas, according to The Wrap, has joined Harrison Ford in the cast of Indiana Jones 5. And this is, of course, we know, being directed by James Mangold, who I don't think he's done like an Indiana Jones movie, but we love his work, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do with that. So right now, it doesn't look like there is any sort of details on the specific of like the role he's playing, if he's a villain, if he's not a villain, is Antonio Banderas close in age to Harrison Ford?
No,
I want to say he's a little younger.
Yeah, he's a little. You're being very kind. A little younger.
So potentially, I mean, I would love to see Antonio Banderas as villain in this.
Yeah, I think.
Wouldn't that be great?
He just played a villain in The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Antonio is 60. I don't mean to out people out, but we got to figure out. And Harrison is 80, is 79. So a little
bit. Oh, yeah. There's a little bit.
Yeah. But this is a huge cast, though, Wendy, isn't it? I mean, you've got so, as you said, there's so many people in this cast already. So Banderas kind of, you've got an international feel to this cast with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, Thomas Kretschmann, Boyd Holbrook, Seanette Renee Wilson, and then you throw in Banderas as well. So this is a very diverse cast, a very international cast. So where is the story going to go? Are we going to multiple continents? Are we going to multiple cities as we've done in the past with some of these Indiana Jones installments? So it's exciting overall. But yes, Banderas being a part of it, he's just perfect. And I think they work together on Expendables 3, Banderas and Harrison Ford. So they're not like strangers to each other at all. So it could be fun to see what Banderas brings. And he can play a fantastic villain. Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard is a fun throwaway film. And he plays a, you know, like a fun villain. There's not much depth to him. There'll be
but
more
just the fun one.
Yeah,
it's no Zorro.
It's no Zorro. You're right.
It's no Zorro.
But I think he has to do here. What do you think? Yeah,
I feel like I can see him as a villain, but I can also see him as this kind of support character. Not support character because it's Antonio Banderas,
right?
But someone that's maybe on the team of like who knows if Indiana is kind of, you know, as we see the cast rounding up his like team of fellow archaeologists. And what if Antonio was this wackier character?
Could be.
Cause he has fun with those and he does those really, really well.
Yes, he does.
Like man's got comedy chops. And I think it's underutilized. So I wouldn't mind seeing him having some fun in that as well. Or maybe one of the characters that like, you know, oh yeah, I am, I'm coming alone to study and to learn, follow your footsteps, and then turn around and like backstab him because the treasure is right there. And that's what people do. They get greedy, you know, when they get there.
The Fellowship I'm just of excited. The Ark. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. This is exciting. I am loving this addition to Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah,
who knows, tomorrow we're going to see who else join either the
Salma
cast
Hayek.
Of Indiana.
Salma Hayek.
Put them all in.
Yeah.
Put them all in.
Let's move on to the next thing. What's Netflix planning on here, Wendy? What is this all about?
So Netflix is not just, you know, streaming TV shows or unscripted, you know, reality series. They're now going to also reportedly going to offer video games within the next year. So this is a could. This is not confirmed, but it has been talked about before as a part of its subscription as early as next year, which honestly, let me look at it now, we're more than halfway through the year. So it's really not that far away. And according to Bloomberg, a person familiar with the situation has stated that video games could appear within the next year, being available alongside the service's current content as a new standalone genre. So right now, Netflix apparently does not have any plans to charge any extra for the video game contents on offer, which assumes that we as current subscribers could just have access with no extra costs for now. I feel like that's going to change, though.
Yeah.
I feel like as they start to roll it out, they'll be like, well, for this much, you get the video games.
Right. Eventually. Yeah. They'll let you get a taste. And then, all right, this is the plan. We're changing the price plan and blah, blah, blah. Because most people don't fight back against it. Because Netflix doesn't jump at like $10 or $20. It's like $1 to $4 most of the time. So it's not that big of a deal.
Not too bad.
But
it makes sense, I feel like, for them to. I think they'd be the first streaming platform to do this. Like Disney Plus doesn't have any video games
right
now. Thinking of the other streaming platforms, Amazon Prime. Well, Amazon Prime, you can kind of link to your like Twitch for like Prime Gaming. So I don't know if there's a little bit of that there. I don't think this is quite the same though. So who knows? We do have Netflix properties appearing on Switch, such as The Stranger Things 3, The Game. So, and they've also, you know, kind of like dipped their toe in the water with the Black Mirror episode, Bendersnatch. Where that's kind of an adventure, choose your own adventure type of a thing. So we don't know if it's going to be available in that sense. If they're like, does your remote control equals the control, or if you're watching it on like a Xbox or a PlayStation 5, you're going to be able to use those controllers to play. There's not a lot of details, but this is certainly interesting. And I think just thinking about how far Netflix has come. Like I remember, I used to get the Netflix DVDs in the mail in that red envelope.
Yeah,
you watch it and then you send it back to now, you know, like didn't people say for a long time, like, oh, Netflix killed Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And now video games.
Yeah. And they're stepping in because, you know, we've seen the Xbox and their pass situation. And we see PlayStation now trying to compete with that situation. And so a lot of people want that. They want to be able to access and play these games for a little bit. They don't want to be paying up the yin yang for one game that they're not going to like or turn or, you know, try to sell or try to get rid of. So this is a smart way for them to go about doing this. But this also means, Wendy, in my opinion, that Netflix is kind of announcing itself yet again as a streaming service that is ahead of the curve, right? Yep. I mean, when they became a streaming service, they understood, okay, we got to buy up a bunch of content, come out hardcore and drop it. We have a belief in what we can do. We'll get people who can like rent the stuff, as you said, with the red sleeves and all of that. And then eventually, but they were the ones that got ahead on streaming, right? I mean, they understood Blockbuster was there, but it's better. What some people don't like to go out. Some people don't like to go in Blockbuster and mill around. Well, look online. That way you don't have to stand there. You can do it at the comfort of your home while you're on the toilet, while you're watching TV, whatever you're doing. You can just look for a video, order it, and it's there at your house in a day or two. And it's perfect. Yeah. And then when other people started catching up to that, they started streaming. And once a lot of people started getting, now they're moving into video games. So I think it's really smart. And they're producing original content as well before any of the streaming services really did. So all of it just really smart about what they're doing to stay ahead of the curve, stay in a position. And they've got so much money from investments that they're able to take chances on things like this for sure. I think it's smart as well.
Yeah, and according to this article here, it looks like Netflix has hired former Electronic Arts and Oculus veteran Mike Verdu as its vice president of the game development. And previous to that, Verdu worked as the Facebook's vice president, was in charge of helping developers bring their games to the Oculus VR platform. So I think they're going down the right track. We just got to let them hash it out before they roll it out and see what happens. And depending on how it works, if it's going to be like Netflix video games that we can purchase, or is it you know, like, you, how that's going to work within its service, and the those of us who subscribe to Netflix, how that's going to work for us has yet to be seen. But we will definitely keep our eyes on this piece of news, and if there's any more developments, of course, we'll bring it back to the show. So make sure you guys are tuning in every week, just in case they drop news.
Exactly. No, I'm not watching Netflix on the loo. I'm saying people do that. I'm not saying I'm on the loo looking at Netflix.
You know people do that. You know people do that. I know people that do that. Come on now.
Come on now. So, yeah, we'll keep up to date on that for sure, Wendy, because I'm sure when it happens, it'll be a very big news story, and we'll cover it on the show for sure. All right, let's move on to this other story here. Universal Pictures has set a release date for She Said. This is the film about the Harvey Weinstein investigation. This one stars Carey Mulligan and Zoe Kazan. I love Zoe Kazan. She is, I think, the granddaughter or the great-granddaughter of Elia Kazan, the director Elia Kazan. So certainly coming from, you know, good, talented, incredibly brilliant stock there. She's a writer. She's an actress. She's incredible. And she was in The Big Sick, the one with Kumail Nanjiani playing the wife there. But, of course, Carey Mulligan, million things, Promising Young Woman, and she was great on SNL, if you saw her in SNL. But they're playing the two New York Times reporters who broke the story, Megan Twohy and Jody Cantor, that helped usher in the Me Too movement. Even though the Me Too movement had been started back in, I think, 2006, this expose on Weinstein and Ronan Farrow's following expose 5 days later in The New Yorker really blew the whole story open. Maria Schrader will direct this. Rebecca Lenkowitz is writing the script. And it's based on their article, She Said, Breaking the Sexual Harassment Story That Helped Ignite a Movement. If you haven't read that article, read it. And if you haven't read Ronan Farrow's article, read it. It is engrossing, but also unsettling, uncomfortable. I'm going to talk about it later, but I'm currently watching Catch and Kill that is on HBO Max. The first two episodes are available. Ronan Farrow interviewing the women involved in the Harvey Weinstein situation and recalling how he got the information that he got. The first episode, there's actual audio footage of Harvey Weinstein, trying to convince a woman so he can sexually assault her. It's unsettling. And then the second episode has Roseanne Arquette talking about her experience with it as well. And it says this will be their third collaboration between Zoe Kazan and Carey Mulligan, not on screen, but they had been on stage in the Broadway production of The Seagull in 2008. And then, oh, I guess they had starred in a film, I'm sorry, in 2018 called Wildlife, which Kazan co-wrote and produced. So, and this will be Megan Ellison will executive produce for Annapurna with Sue Nagel, while Brad Pitt, Dee Dee Gardner, and Jeremy Kleiner will produce for Plan B. And you know Brad Pitt.
Nice. Yes.
He stepped in the Gwyneth Paltrow, Harvey Weinstein situation. So, you know, he's going to be excited to produce this and get this thing right. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? Are you excited about this? This is not going away. Like, he is now the cautionary tale for all of Hollywood.
Yes, don't do what he does. Just dirty. Don't do it. I am interested in it because it's telling it from the reporter side of it. And so no, it's not just breaking the news, but to kind of make that decision to come out and, you know, report on all this, perhaps the backlash that they possibly gotten during all this. And I just love Carey Mulligan so much. I think for me, sometimes as I watch her, especially I think in Promising Young Woman, because that's the most recent film that I just saw her in, her performances are very powerful, but also her acting in it, it can be subtle in a good way, in a really, really good way. So I just can't wait to see her take on these characters and you know, her being an actor in Hollywood, like she's kind of close to this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really am interested. Yeah. In seeing how, you know, with these two actresses taking up the role, to see how it goes with this. I'm very interested. I mean, with this, I perked up when I saw this news article when I was, you know, taking a look at our notes and topics, and I was like, Carey Mulligan, count me in. Yeah. Count me in already. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Yaj Srivastava, I hope I'm saying that right, Srivastava in the chat said it's way too soon for a Harvey Weinstein movie. It's not true at all. Watergate, All the President's Men was literally, I think, 2 years after Watergate. So we are 2 to 3 years from this, the time that this article dropped and this movie. And it probably won't be done until 2022. So it'll be 4 years since.
Yeah.
We have had this story break international consciousness. So I don't think it's too soon at all. And people consume news and consume stories so quickly that we can't put it in the same timetable as we did back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, even the early 2000s. You know, we consume it all so quickly. So it is possible to do a film, a topical film, within a year or two of the incident breaking and still be able to capture it fully. So just throwing that out there. Nice. All right. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We'll keep tabs on it for sure. But yeah, Catch and Kill. We'll talk about that a little bit later. All right.
I can't wait.
I threw in this article here at the end as we were building the rundown here. This one comes to us in the Hollywood Reporter. It was written by Conchata Wurst, who is actually, that's the drag name for Tom Neuwirth. He's an Austrian artist who won the world's big, I'm sorry, she's an Austrian artist who won the world's biggest singing competition, the Eurovision Song Contest in 2004 with his drag stage persona, Conchata Wurst, the bearded lady singing the song Rise Like a Phoenix. He wrote a column here under his drag name, talking about how reality TV and specifically the drag shows and some of the scripted TV recently has really helped to highlight the issues in the LGBTQ plus community and bring these things more into the mainstream, have conversations about them, explore them more. I think this is a fantastic column. As someone who, you know, knew about RuPaul, you know, liked the song and all of that, it was getting with my girlfriend who loves all things drag that really kind of opened my eyes to that world. And not that I judged that world in any way, shape, or form in a negative way. It was just a world I wasn't aware of. But she watches so much of it that I sit down with her and I've watched Drag Race España. I've watched Drag Race from Down Under. I've watched Drag Race, the current Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, all those things to kind of open my mind. And Conchata also highlights this Netflix documentary called Disclosure about the LGBTQ community, about trans people, all of that being highlighted here as well, and speaks more about these reality shows that are in multiple countries. And then also says, but we can't get too soft or can't start feeling comfortable that it's okay, because 71 countries still outlaw this outlaw this in their respective countries. So what do you think of this, Wendy? What do you think of, do you think the premise is correct here, that that these reality shows have helped open our minds up a little bit more to this community?
I certainly hope so. For me, like drag, I wasn't like a, I think now we have with all these shows, perhaps for the general audience, we're getting more and more better understanding for more opportunities for us to learn about the community and be an ally and be supportive. So I do love that. I am kind of surprised by what you just said, that I didn't realize it was outlawed.
Yes.
And I think that's due to me kind of living, you know, here in the States, specifically LA, kind of in my own bubble where, like, you know, I'm not like doing a double take when I see a drag queen. I'm just kind of like, oh, great. And then, you know, so it's almost normal for some of us, but that's crazy. And I hope that with more shows and programs featuring the LGBTQ plus community, that it becomes more just giving people a better understanding and acceptance. And that's really all I want. So like, yes, go watch your Drag Race. Go to, have you gone to Drag Queen Bingo? When you were here in LA?
Yeah, at Hamburger Mary's.
Yes!
I did that a few times, yes.
Oh, God, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I missed it. I missed it. Probably the best thing I've ever, like, done. Because my friends invited me. I was like, the what? Like, oh, you have to come. I've never heard. I was, like, just fresh in LA, you know, just, like, arrived. Made some friends. They're like, let's go. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to, but okay. And like, you know, they made me drive to WeHo, and I'm like, what? I remember Rach driving on the way. I was like, what is this? Can't find parking.
Oh yeah. WeHo can be crazy. That's for damn sure.
It can be crazy. But once I got there, I had a great time. I'm so happy that you watch all these shows. That makes me really happy.
I just, you know, you got to keep an open mind about stuff. You know, I know people think, oh, he's Roka. He's, you know, blah, blah, but no, but I'm always very, I portray that gruffness, but I'm always very open-minded to kind of explore the other side. I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy doing all the shows that I do. It's analytical exploration of all this stuff and where it leads me to. It's fun. It's fun to keep the mind open and be intrigued and curious and challenged by things. It's always good to have that. Conchetta talks about the dating shows in Spain and in the US, and then a new wave of drag formats that are apparently coming from the Nordic countries to an adorable series that's aimed at kids called Ronnie, Reggie, and Friends, about two gay penguins from the London Zoo. So this is out there. Yeah, this is out there. Right? And this is out there to kind of, and this one struck me too, Wendy. This one is this show called, they have in Denmark, on Metronome Denmark, Fabulous Dad. It's an emotional, factual entertainment series where fathers of drag queens try to really understand the lives of their sons by performing as drag queens themselves. It's a really interesting, because we've seen on the RuPaul Drag Race where they dress up someone, a friend or a rugby player or whatever, but this is like their parents, their father, that they would have to kind of, and the father has to understand what this life is like and what it is for people, and maybe some of the ridicule, some of the, I mean, because everyone has that, I think almost every season in RuPaul has that moment where they're all talking about the time they got beat up or the time they got gay bashed or all that, which is just harrowing to listen to those stories. So, so I love this. I love that we're opening the door to having more and more of this programming. And I love that people are watching it, right, Wendy? That's the most important thing. That just because you have programming, if people don't watch, it's not going to get, you know, keep getting it done, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I like about it. You put these shows out there, more people are watching it, and it's just to create. And again, I'll say it again. So, you know, just so people have a better understanding, because you do hear these heartbreaking stories of like the shame, the being afraid of to come out or ridiculed or anything like that. And it's, to me, I'm always kind of like, why do you do that to somebody you don't even know?
Yeah.
And secondly, that's their life that they're living, their own life, not yours. So it literally does not make a difference for you, how you live your life.
Right.
You know, you're not, you guys aren't going down the same path. So I've always wondered that, like, you know, friends, I've watched friends through high school who were, everybody knew, right?
Yeah,
but they themselves knew, but they were afraid to come out because of the repercussions of family or like friends and being shunned and all this and that. And it's like, that's really the last thing that they have to worry about. But unfortunately, that is the reality. So I'm hoping that more and more of these shows just helps people create a better understanding of, you know, putting yourselves in their shoes for just an hour, if the show is an hour, and watch it.
Yeah, and I think we just had a trans person on the show Pose get nominated for the first time ever for an Emmy. A trans person getting nominated for an Emmy for the first time as well, I believe. And of course, this article also highlights that a German trans woman, Alex Maria Peter from Cologne, became the first trans person in the 16-year history of the next top model to win the competition. So step by step, doors open, we become more open-minded. Yeah, we get there. Absolutely. Yeah. And it gives me hope. After 4 years of no hope, this gives me hope. So that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's get into some. Trending thing. I don't see any Streamlabs or Super Chats. Oh no, I'm sorry. Calvin sent one in. He said,
all right.
King Sport Cal. He said, getting ready for work. Always nice to see Wendy. Thank you for that,
Cal.
And Andrew Russell says, nothing to say, just showing support. Keep up the great show, Wendy and John. Thank you so much.
Finger hearts.
Very kind. Very kind of you. So send them in, ladies and gentlemen. It's pinned in the chat. It's in the description of the video and up there above our heads. Send in some support for this show as well. All right, Wendy, where are we off to here?
I think we can hit up our hashtag trending segment.
Hey-o.
This is the part where we kind of just talk about, you know, not necessarily in the movie news world or in the geek world, but anything that we find interesting that is topical and trending. And sometimes that we talk about food.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about this last time. We're not sure if Subway is still eating fresh, but according to them.
We've got an update on the tuna situation at Subway. All right. We do. What is it? What is it?
Part two, guys. Part two. So this is the next phase, I guess. It is part two. The Subway, the company, the brand, has actually launched a website to put all your questions about their tuna to bed. So this is according to a thread that I found on Twitter that was trending on my Explore or For You page. I was like, God, I must have been looking up this like tuna thing for a while, so I might as well just go back down the rabbit hole. So you guys know the last time we talked about this, there was a lawsuit for Subway claiming that they lied, that basically they're lying about their tuna, that their tuna is not tuna because the sample got sent to a lab and the lab said that they could not identify anything. They couldn't find the identifying like DNA of the tuna. They're not saying it's fake fish. They're just saying that they couldn't specifically, the language was like, they couldn't identify the DNA of the tuna there. Right. So the restaurant responded stating that they do use 100% wild caught tuna, and they called the claims meritless. So here's a little bit of a timeline from Food Insider here. So in 2013, a nonprofit group, Oceana, found that 59% of U.S. tuna was mislabeled and contained other fish. I honestly am not surprised by that. Yeah. I'm honestly not surprised by that. Now, in 2016, Subway declares, quote, it only serves its customers with skipjack tuna sourced from fisheries with non-threatening stock levels. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2021, January, a California lawsuit launched against Subway alleging mislabeling of tuna. And now we fast forward to the next month, February 2021, Inside Edition samples the Subway tuna, finding that it was, in fact, tuna.
Yep.
It is tuna, but so much so that Subway has to have their own created a website just to show that Subway tuna is real tuna, which is what you see on their website. And they said, that's right. The truth is Subway uses wild-cut skipjack tuna regulated by the FDA, a favorite among sub lovers. Our tuna is and always has been high quality, premium, and 100% real.
Right.
So much so that they had to do this.
This is what they call in the business world saving your brand. I mean, this is basically what they're trying to do here, because Subway has been bombarded on all sides with so many sandwich shops that have come out, Jersey Mike's, Jimmy John's, that have spread across the country and in the world to kind of challenge Subway's dominance. So, you know, you can get a nice $5 footlong at Subway and you are good. You pay more for Jimmy John's. You pay more for Firehouse Subs. You pay more for these other Jimmy John's and what have you.
Oh, I always go to Jersey Mike's now.
At Jersey Mike's, there you go. Or Witch, you're paying more for those subs than you do for Subway. So this idea of trying to put expectations on Subway that I think are a little unwieldy to me just makes sense. You know what you're getting at Subway. And if you're trying to find real tuna, whether it's real tuna or not at Subway, I'm just always like, come on, what are we doing here? I appreciate they want to save their brand because they, like I said, they've been attacked and they've also been losing profits from the, we talked about that last time we talked about this story, how much their profits have gone down over the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so this is definitely an attempt to try to rebrand and save, and they've been getting hit on all. Remember the bread thing, right? Where it was pink slime or it was plastic that was in the bread.
There were like rubber like components or something that oh, that's also been found in like tires and rubber.
Yeah,
and also exactly. Which I was like, ugh. Another thing was that they found like a high amount of sugar in their bread that they couldn't classify it really as bread. I was like, so it's a cake?
Yeah.
Is it a sandwich, but you know, with it's cake because it's so sweet, which is crazy. I actually dropped in our chat there the link to Subway's like actual website. So it's subwaytunafacts.com. That says Subway's tuna is real, underline real tuna. So they have like a fact check, they have a tuna Q&A, they have a supply chain link. So you take a look. Nice. I mean, like, I feel a little bit bad that the restaurant has to go to this length to like protect their branding and whatnot. And the thing that I was saying about the tuna was that I didn't doubt that it was some form of tuna, but I was thinking kind of like what that timeline showed us, that maybe they have other fish mixed in there. And also by the time you get that, like if have anybody gone to Subway to order that tuna sandwich, it's like already mixed. Right, yes. They're not mixing it in front of you. No. So I feel like there's so much stuff that you're also trying to test, but there's also components like mayonnaise, salt, pepper, whatever other spices and condiments that they put in there. Yeah, like it's, you know, so, but I will say that initial headline of the, it's not tuna, where I'm like, oh, it's not tuna, better not eat it. But I haven't been to Subway in a hot minute, so we're fine.
Oh, fair enough.
We're fine.
I've eaten many tuna Subway tuna sandwiches and have never gotten sick or anything like that off that. So I don't know, man. And I've never died. I haven't grown a third eye. So I got no complaints.
No superpowers?
No superpowers. No tail. So, I mean, you know, it's all fine. And, you know, it's like going to McDonald's going, is this real meat? It's like, it's McDonald's, pal. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? You're buying stuff for $2 and $3. Don't ask for an extraordinary amount of quality food from a place you're paying barely any money to. It just doesn't make sense to me overall. But, you know, a majority of the country, you know, lives paycheck to paycheck. So to them, it's very important what they spend their money on. And if they're trying to eat healthy by grabbing the tuna, they don't want to be lied to. But, you know, the chicken breast is the healthiest thing to eat there, not the tuna, because the tuna is mixed in with mayonnaise and mayonnaise carries
so bad for you.
Yeah, a lot of fat and calories and the sodium as well. So no superpowers, no tail. Exactly. Yeah, well said. Damn. So true.
No super tails, no tail. Like watching like a week, you're gonna be like, what is this tail? Or you're like, your vision got really, really good, like super laser focused vision. Or keep eating that Subway,
bro. I just keep jumping into the water. Just keep jumping in the water randomly.
Come on.
I feel better here. What is wrong with me? Yeah, no gills. No gills. Yeah, no gills.
You'll be like Luca. Just transform. Like splash when you're in the water. God.
All right. All right, Wendy, I think you got our next story. You probably our next two stories here. Blackpink's got a trailer. What's going on with this?
Welcome back to K-pop News Corner, everybody. Hello. Where Wendy tries to convert John Roca into a K-pop stan. And later on, we might have a K-drama corner. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It could happen. But you guys know I am a self-proclaimed Blink fan of Blackpink. So there's a Blackpink movie coming out, and this is to celebrate the group's 5th anniversary. We kind of discussed in earlier episodes what the 4+1 meant. Some people had like speculated, oh, the plus one is a new member, where I shut it down immediately. I was like, on their 5th anniversary, you're going to add or, you know, unveil a new member? I don't think so. But it is indeed Blackpink plus Blinks 4 plus 1. We are their extra member, which I love. So to celebrate, they have a movie that is coming out. And we talked about this last time. Wendy already bought a ticket. I bought two tickets because I'm dragging Dustin with me for Blackpink, the movie. This is coming out on two separate days in August only. So it's very select theater, select dates. So make sure if you want to like see the Blackpink movie, if you're also a Blink, go ahead and grab that ticket. But they have a new trailer coming up that was released for this new movie, which showcases not just the interviews with the girls, but also past stages, their performances from, I believe, like their earlier days to the concert that they had in 2020, which was, it was huge. It was this digital only concert because of COVID. So nobody's able to, you know, gather or anything like that. But it was called The Show, which I kind of love their branding for the this latest album that they have out. It is called Blackpink, the album. Then their show was called The Show. And now the movie is called The Movie, which I love. And this exclusive concert was streamed on their YouTube channel. You did have to pay, but there were multiple opportunities to watch it. So you best believe that I made my, I think it was like $30 or something like that worth it because I watched every single time they streamed it and I enjoyed it. And it looks like we're seeing some behind the footage in this trailer as well as interviews with the girls. I'm very excited for this movie. And once I watch it, I will come back here and let you guys know what I thought of the movie. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, I like the trailer. I mean, it's basically a love letter to the fans, right? I mean, profiling the journey. It has that day one moment, and then like year five, and all everything that's happened. And even after the trailer is over, there's that little bit of extra.
With Lisa,
right, where she's like really emotional, talking about how the journey has gone and how much she appreciates the fans for supporting her.
Yeah. So,
I think it's great. I mean, this is a fantastic, it looks like a fantastic concert film, a great love letter to the fans, and great for the fans to kind of like understand the journey that they've been on. And of course, the hardcore fans probably know every single thing there is to know, but there's just something cool about having them speak about it, having them go through it, seeing the footage with them talking about it, that I think will add an even more profound element to this journey and this situation and their connection with their fans, which is pretty great. You can tell.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely great. And I can see, and you know, not just talking about Blackpink, but almost all the K-pop, probably all K-pop, you know, groups or artists know how important their fan base is to them, because you work how many years, you know, out of your life in that industry to train as a trainee. So you finally debut, but without the fans, then like, do you sometimes, I don't know, does the label drop you? I'm not really sure, because it seems like, because it takes them so long to debut, there's usually a plan like marketing, you know, management, teases of like their upcoming music videos or songs. So like, I don't think the industry is trying to set them up to fail because they spent so much time and energy into training them they want to set you up for success, because you make money, they make money, everybody is happy.
Yeah.
But I do love kind of what you were saying about Lisa getting emotional towards the end. That's one of the things that I often hear about these K-pop groups, you know, whether it's Blackpink or it's BTS or any other groups that you may love, they always kind of think back to that journey before they were trainees. And the similar things that I always hear about them is they get very emotional talking about it because it was tough. And for Lisa, to give you a little bit of insight.
Yeah, please.
John, because I don't think you know.
No.
I think specifically for Lisa, why it's extra. And I mean, I'm not saying her journey is harder than anyone else's. I think they all had equally difficult journey. Because like when Rosé, when she talks about trainee day, she always cries because it was tough. But for Lisa specifically, she was, you know, one of the younger ones, but she's also not native Korean. She's actually Thai. Wow. So coming to Korea, auditioning for YG, getting the audition and flying to Korea to live in Korea and train at YG, she not only had to be good at the singing, the dancing, and the rapping, but she also had to learn a whole new language. And at the beginning, she wasn't allowed to communicate with anybody via English because they needed her Korean to be good. So it was really, really tough for her to not be able to express her thoughts. And luckily these girls, like they kind of, the four of them kind of bonded right away. And Jisoo was a big help for Lisa to, you know, all of them were, but to help her learn Korean. So I think, you know, I can't wait to see with Lisa, like, being so far away from her family and also in a foreign country the language she really didn't know. She said she knew how to say hello and a couple of basic, you know, phrases, right, and that was it. I was like, oh, that's tough, but now go rap. Okay, you now rap in Korean. Like, that's difficult. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Redman tried to do it on his What The album back in the 90s. He had a rap where he was like, catch me freaking in Korean. And he tried to rap in Korean for about 30 seconds. So it's not an easy thing to do.
It is not. I'm trying to learn Korean right now. It's very hard. And for someone who is bilingual, and I'm like, what is this? Why is this so hard?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's a line in the trailer too where they said, where one of them is, I can't remember who is speaking and says this, but she says, you know, we try this, but we're better together. We do better things when we're together.
It's probably Jenny. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a really strong statement to make there, you know, because, you know, a lot of groups break up from jealousy, envy, and, you know, of wanting to be the front person. Yeah. Controversy, sleeping with each other's wives or boyfriends or husbands. All that stuff happens in groups throughout the years of groups. You know, it's happened, boy bands, girl bands or not. That's always happened. So, you know, I mean, like, we just had the Britney Spears thing that we're dealing with. And, you know, having AJ McLean, I think, who came out and said the last time he saw Britney, he was in pieces, seeing how devastated she was by the situation she was living in. You know,
so. Speaking of Britney, real quick, not to sidetrack us too much, but did you hear what Lance Bass said?
No. No, I haven't heard Lance Bass's comments. The last I heard was Britney is asking for a new conservator or whatever, and wants to have
a lawyer. Yeah, and I think she was actually granted that, I want to say, if she was, that's really great. But the comment from Lance was he hadn't talked to her in years, not because she's a bad friend or because he's a bad friend, because you know how she's got a bunch of handlers. She literally cannot, like, they treat her like she's a 3-year-old. Even though she's able to, like, go on stage and freaking perform and talk to thousands and thousands of audience members and memorize choreography and perform songs, but she's not able to, like, live her life as a fully functioning adult. The people would take her phone and change the phone numbers of her friends.
Really?
So that she would text the number who she thinks, say, Lance Bass.
She would
never get a response. So she thinks she's being freaking ghosted or whatever. Yes. They would mess with her. Is that not crap?
That's horrific. And that's cult shit. That's cult shit. That's like, I want to, and that's possessive shit. Like what you see with terrible husbands or boyfriends who, like, change the numbers on their wives' phones or monitor their wives' phones or girlfriend's phones, or they look and see you show at any point. I need to be able to have access to your phone at any point. I don't understand relationships like that, Wendy. Lindley and I, what she does on her phone is her business. What I do on my phone is my business. And neither of us has our passcodes. I know couples who do that because of emergency situations. But checking people's phones, that to me is beyond the realm. But switching numbers or changing numbers so you can further mess with this woman's self-esteem, further put her under your control, is horrible. And to me, they give too little jail time for stuff like that. You know, I think we're too lenient as a, well, don't get me started. I think we're too lenient as a society with a lot of these things, because people think murder is brutal because you can physically see a body. I understand that, but mental murder can sometimes be even worse, because at least when you're dead, but mental murder is walking dead, where you are killed from the inside out. And that can have such lasting effects and ramifications. And we only give people like a year or two for doing that to people. And that needs to stop. We need to understand how devastating it is to mess with someone's mentality, someone's brain functions, and their perceptions of themselves. It's horrific, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? When I read that, I was like, no way. That's so... wrong on so many levels. She's... Like, you can't tell me now, after dealing with this and surviving this and still being able to, like, wake up every day and live her life the way it is right now. Like, that's a strong ass person.
Yeah.
Because, like, not everybody can deal with, like, no wonder she's having mental health problems. She literally thinks her friends have all abandoned her. This is her own family lying to her. Disgusting.
Yeah. And you hope Jamie Lynn didn't have too much to do with it. You hope that your own sister isn't doing that to you either.
She's younger too. Like,
yeah, she's younger, which is real. Stormy Woods says, Britney is definitely being controlled, manipulated, isolated, and gaslit. I grew up in that kind of household with a horrible, abusive father. Oh, praying Britney gets free. Yeah, sorry, Stormy. That is a tough situation. Because there is a line. There is a line. Okay? There's a difference between caring for your children to make sure they're safe and wanting to be all up in everything they do because you don't trust them and you need to be in control of them. There is a line, and you've got to understand the difference. And no one, it's so funny to me how parents forget what they were like at 15 years old or 16 years old. They have like amnesia of what they needed, which was a little freedom to discover things and explore things and learn for themselves. That's the game, you know? So I don't know. Parents are crazy like that. I don't like to tamper mercy with justice. I agree. I don't like to tamper mercy with justice. Just do justice. We'll deal with mercy later. all right, Wendy, let's move on to this.
Let's go back to the K-pop corner real quick. Yeah, just that BTS is just literally everywhere on my computer screen these days. So obviously we know that they've recently released Butter, which is a little while ago, but their newest song, Permission to Dance, it has debuted the new MV, and they were performing both of those songs on Jimmy Fallon, as well as a fun little interview where Jimmy kind of were sitting because it was virtual, but asking the members of BTS kind of, there's a lot of rumors that come up with K-pop girls. You know, we hear about stuff like this, speculations and whatever. And it was a very friendly sort of a like truth or false. And one specific thing that they definitely asked to V, one of the members of BTS, was he originally didn't plan to audition for Big Hit or for BTS at all. And the reason he even did it was because his friend wanted to. So he went to support his friend, but he ended up auditioning and he got it. Yeah. And then the follow-up question to Jimmy was, well, what happened to your friend? And he was just so casually goes, oh, he failed.
Wow. Just totally casual.
BTS is doing great things. They're the ECDs for breakfast because I don't know how they sound so stable singing and dancing. And you can tell that it's not pre-recorded. You can tell that it's live. Because sometimes they jump and they move and they hit their mic and you can hear that thump. And I'm like, you can't fake that crap in there like that. Mm-mm.
Nope. It's true. It's true. All right. So let's move on to our next thing here. The Universal Studios, Wendy, they're bringing back Texas Chainsaw Massacre Maze and the Bride of Frankenstein Maze. So what's this all about?
I am so excited. We had talked about previously that as things continue to open up everywhere, Halloween Horror Nights is back on both coasts. Specifically for Hollywood, we are hearing that they're doing Netflix show, The Haunt Hill House.
Yeah, The Haunting of Hill House.
The Haunting of Hill House. So that's going to be, I think, their like e-ticket maze that they're doing, basically the main attraction. But they are also bringing back Leatherface. So Texas Chainsaw is coming back. That's a maze that they've done a few times over. But every single time I've gone through those mazes, and it's just incredible because it also kind of plays in that same traditional haunted house style, which I think works so well for mazes to not go too extravagant. Let's just like go and play. And sometimes sticking with the basics is the best, but I'm very excited for now the Bride of Frankenstein. I think she's been, showcased before in Halloween Horror Nights, but she's just got a small scene, but now she gets her own maze, which is pretty incredible. And that makes me really happy for all my female character friends, who hopefully can audition for the role and get to be put in the maze. So that's really exciting. And now with the announcement of three mazes at Universal Studios Hollywood, we just have one more to go because I believe there are four mazes this year. They haven't announced any of the scare zones,
right?
Which are placed, like for example, like a little code word for you guys, scare zone one, which is like the very first street area when you walk into Universal Studios Hollywood, when you walk down the shops and stuff, that scares on one. They haven't announced what that'll be yet, the theme of it. We're not sure, but I am really liking that these are the three mazes that they have been announced so far. And like, now I'm curious what this fourth one is, because they could have just dropped all three in this announcement, but they haven't yet. So it's making me think that it's another IP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when the Me Too movement started, I didn't know it was going to lead to the Bride of Frankenstein having her own maze. But you know what? Okay. I'm okay Great. With this. I like this.
Yes, why not?
I already thought of three people that we know that could possibly play Bride of Frankenstein at Universal 100%. Studios. Annie Cross would be a great Bride of Frankenstein if she's still there at Universal. I don't know if she is or not, but she'd be fantastic. And one of my friends over there at Harry Potter Land, she would be a great Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. She loves dressing up as like Alien and Hella and all of that. Oh. She's fantastic. Yeah. So
and she won't have any problem with all that makeup and hair.
She would love it. I think she would probably love it. So yeah. So it's I love it. It's great. That's awesome. And what do you have any guesses of what you think the fourth one will be? Is there an IP that you think they haven't touched on yet or have touched on and then maybe they're going back to it? What's your thoughts?
I think if they're going to bring it, I would actually love, because it is a Universal property, I would love to see them do a Conjuring.
Oh yeah, good call.
Wouldn't that be
good
great? Because call. They kind of did something similar with Insidious, where they, I think it was like Insidious 1 and 2 in the same maze. You just kind of flowed into it. And that one was creepy AF. And I do believe, I want to say this is not a fact. This is just Wendy's own personal feelings. But I feel like there is some actual like paranormal activity in that like location, in that actual maze. Like I felt weird things when I was in that maze. Okay. Kind of like the La Llorona. I was like, this is something I don't want to be in here for that much longer. Let's get out and let's smudge.
Don't conjure that stuff. Don't conjure that stuff.
No the Conjuring joke. Would be great. Or if they're going to not recycle, but if they're going to bring back a previous IP that they've worked with, I would think maybe Stranger Things.
Yeah. Is Paranormal Activity part of this or no? That's a different studio, probably.
I think something that's a different studio, but they could do it.
Something like found footage, I think, would be brilliant. Something like that would be fantastic. And have someone.
Oh, wait, they're saying you. The Conjuring is WB. Oh, MK okay. says, hold okay. on. Conjuring 3. I think you're right, actually. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Why don't I see it here? Let's just say it is. Let's just say it is.
Yeah, you've got a number of franchises here for classic monster, right? They've got all these monsters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot they can play with.
They used to have, it was an all day, all year round little like haunted house that they had put at Universal Studios. This was like, I think 2015, 2016 is when we had, maybe 2014, we said goodbye to it, but it was like the House of Horror.
Yeah.
And they had all the classic monsters in there. So like Wolfman, I don't think they had the Thing, but they had Dracula and Chucky was in there. Man, the Chuckies would freak me out.
Chucky's no joke, man.
No Chucky's thanks. No joke. Yeah. Paranormal Activity is paramount. So paramount. I mean, it is paramount. I like that what they're doing with this year, they have a newer property, right? With the Netflix show, then they have a very classic slasher horror movie in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then they have a classic monster for the Bride of Frankenstein. So I'm liking the lineup so far. I'm very curious to see what that last one is. I also can't wait to see the scare zones because, you know, they have a whole chainsaw brigade over at Universal Studios that always blow my mind how hard these guys work and the endurance you have to have in chains. Have you lifted one of those chains? They take the chains off the chainsaw, so they can't actually like do harm if they accidentally, but they stay pretty far away from you. Right, those things are heavy AF.
Yeah. They play the sound though on them, so it's pretty funny. But those guys, that's what's the young kids. It's usually the young kids doing it because they've got energy for days swinging that thing around. They get all excited. But I imagine on the like, you know, fourth or fifth week, they're a little bit exhausted from doing it.
They're tired.
For sure. But absolutely.
Because it's repetitive movement. You pull the, I couldn't even start one, Roka. I tried. They let me try in training. They're like, oh, come here, because the supervisors were there.
Yeah.
And I went to pull. They're like, you just got to pull it, Wendy. And I couldn't do it. They're like, well, you're never going to be the brigade. And I was like, I don't think I want to be. I'm going to be the least intimidated. I'm going to be that one scared on the floor. Like, can you just wait 1 second? I just, come on. Couldn't start it.
I like this, what Travis Earl says. The Thing would be an amazing haunted house. Yeah, I'm sure it would be. Oh, that'd be awesome. Because then you could test the blood, like you'd have the scene, and then the scare thing would come out, would jump out of, instead of the blood, it jumps out from the side or whatever, or from the top. It would be really funny. So
the top would be cool.
Right? The top is, I think, we don't explore that enough. All right, so we'll keep tabs on that. September 3rd, which is, you know, a little bit later pretty on soon. In the year. Yeah, so but it's coming yeah. around the corner. Let's move on to this question for YouTube. A lot of you guys are YouTubers out there. You got your channels. So I thought I'd throw this one on for Wendy and I to talk about. YouTube is making this is being reported by Social Media Today. This is published a couple of days ago. Andrew Hutchinson is the content and social media manager who wrote this, said that YouTube is making automatic video chapters available for all uploaded clips, while it's also launching a new dark mode for YouTube Studio on the desktop. I'm a big fan of dark mode, so
the same
fact do that, right? The fact they're gonna do that on YouTube Studio excites me on so many levels. And remember, the video chapters were introduced last November. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even know that. I just figured out how to do that 3 days ago.
Oh, so now, no! So you now didn't know about it.
I had no idea. So now, like, all my episodes, all my shows will have that going forward. I am not going back in time unless I have a whole entire Saturday by myself that I can go back and do all those videos from the last year that I've been doing shows. But John and Wendy Explain the World will have breaks. Yes. And we'll have topics. So now going forward, there will be time codes on all my stuff. I didn't know they did it automatically. My friend sent me a 1 minute video and I was like, oh my God, it's been this easy the whole time. And
yeah. So I
had no idea.
I just wrote to the bottom of my video description and I do like just intro reaction, final thoughts.
That's it. It's so easy. So first off on the video, they did it last November. They launched an experiment that saw chapters automatically inserted into selected videos using a machine learning to identify relevant segments within each is what they're saying. And it allowed you the option to manually insert video chapters back this past May as well. Now it's making its automatic video segmentation available for all videos. Creators will be able to opt out of the option within YouTube Studio, but soon for new videos uploaded, YouTube system will seek to automatically segment your clips into defined chapters and elements. So that's something that is good and could be bad for those of us who want to control where it's segmented, control where it's cut open. So it's going to be good for people who don't care and they'll be able to have chapters without even thinking about it. But for those people who are a little more micromanaging of their videos, they're going to have to kind of make sure that the time codes line up and the subjects line up for what they're doing. So Kavanaugh does say, the YouTube's Connor Kavanaugh says that not all videos will be eligible. And if you enter manual segments via above the process, that will override the automatic segmentation. But for other clips, new segments may be added in. So there you go. And it improves navigation. It also helps for SEO, which helps it to be navigable on there. So all the stuff that's there for. What do you think about this, Wendy? Do you think it's a little too much, or do you actually kind of welcome this and it helps people get a little bit of a leg up on YouTube as well?
I do like the chapters, and I'm kind of surprised because I don't think I found out right when it became available. I think I found out like a month or two later because I saw it on someone else's channel. I'm like, how do I get that? And I went on Reddit immediately. Yeah, how do I do that? And it was so easy. I was like, oh, so I started doing it. I don't do it for all of my videos, but I do it for a lot of them, specifically reactions, because I know some people just want to fast forward to like a reaction of a trailer or whatever it may be. I do welcome it, especially if it's going to be automatically done. Like that's one less thing I have to worry about.
Yeah.
I think though, I tend to want to have control over where I put it. Not really so much for trailer reactions because you can also scroll. You can just scroll and you can just, once that little picture-in-picture box pop up, you know you've arrived at the moment of the reaction. But for a movie review, for hitting specific talking points, that's when I would like to control a little bit. But having it automatically done, I think for YouTubers and creators, that's like minutes saved, shaved off of your time in your day. And like those minutes add up. So I do like that very much. And of course I welcome the dark mode. I like that young boy here says, once you go dark mode, you never go back. It's true. If I can get dark mode anywhere, I just make sure I have that up for sure.
no, Joseph, you no longer have to volunteer to do time codes, which Joseph did on numerous occasions.
My goodness. How sweet.
I will be on top of it. And literally, it took me less than a minute. So I was like, this is nuts. I should have been doing this the whole effing time. But, you know, Wendy, when you do everything for your channel, it is exhausting. You're a one-stop shop for everything. So it can be quite frustrating. And, you know, it was Dan Merle's channel that showed me you could put the chapters in. I had no idea. I had no idea. So, you know, I'm gonna earn my way into y'all's Reactor Summit as I keep doing more of these things so I can have this information from you all, because I really need to learn this stuff as I do more and more of it, for sure.
All you got to do is watch other people's videos.
Yeah.
That's it. Just different creators. Click on them and just kind of, you know, see what inspires you or find out little tricks. I wonder who's... Wait, I'm trying to think back to whose video it was that I was watching that had chapters. Mm. And I thought it was just like very specific because this... I think the person I was watching has, you know, probably like close to 1 million subscribers. So I thought it was a feature that was available exclusively to those who hit a certain amount of subscribers.
Right.
You know, and I'm still in the 5 digits. So I thought, oh, okay, like 6 digit plus. But it turns out, according to Reddit, not the case, because I tried it like that evening and it worked. And I was like, oh, this changes everything. Yeah.
The game changer, for sure.
Yeah, love it.
All right, that was it. That's it for what's trending this week. We're going to move on to our recommendations and reviews for stuff that's coming out right now. Ray Dominguez says, catching the replay. Cheers, folks. Thank you, Ray.
Hey. Nice.
And we got about 15, 16 minutes left of the show. So if you want to send in a super chat or a stream lab, now is the time. We'd appreciate any support you can give us for what we do here on this show every Friday to put a smile on your face and bring you some entertainment. As Wendy's pointing out, the address is right there in the middle of us. It's also pinned to the chat and in the description of this video. All right, Wendy, let's move on to some coming soon news. What do you got? What's coming soon in your world?
I am so excited for the movies Free Guy and Snake Eyes,
G.I.
Joe Origin movie. I feel bad for Free Guy because I feel like this movie... I've been looking at trailers for so long because of the stupid pandemic, you know, things. This happened to a lot of movies. Free Guy is the only one, but it just looks like a fun movie. It's Ryan Reynolds. It's Jodie Comer. I love the both of them. If you haven't watched Killing Eve, go watch it.
Oh my God.
She's amazing in it. Very different character than this movie. That's for sure. But I'm really excited, especially I think my like excitement was kind of refreshed after I saw the, and you did a trailer reaction for this too, the Korg and Deadpool reacting to Free Guy. And it's just so, it's such a Ryan Reynolds thing to do. Like poking fun at himself, fun of himself, maybe a little knock at fellow YouTubers. I love that. You know, smash that, subscribe, visit my Patreon. I was like, you know, if Deadpool had like the maximum reactions, my dog's barking.
Uh-oh.
Are we okay? She maybe doesn't want to see Free Guy. Is that what she's telling me? She's like, no.
It's all a simulation, Ma.
Ma. But I'm excited for that. And of course, Snake Eyes, because let's see. We're exploring the origin of Snake Eyes. And then we know that they're taking a little bit more creative freedom with this story. So Snake Eyes does speak in this movie, as we imagine he would be at the origin, like he wasn't born not speaking. So, but how did he get there? So we get to find out in this movie. So I'm excited for both. I'm seeing both. I want to say next week.
Oh yeah.
Everything's embargoed, so I won't be able to talk about it until embargo lifts. But
right.
I'm so excited. I'm just loving that screenings are coming back and movies are, you know, not just at home anymore. So that's nice. What do you have for us?
I did a trailer for reaction for this one, and I don't know if I'm going to release it or not because I was a little bit honest in my trailer reaction. But I watched this trailer for
Patreon.
This new, it's
called Patreon.
That's not a bad idea. a new show called F-Boy Island. It's on HBO Max, and it's hosted by Nikki Glaser. Those of you who know those roast shows on Comedy Central, and of course. Stand up, know that Nikki Glaser is a fantastic, funny comedian, raunchy comedian, no holds barred, very honest about herself, and very funny as well. Takes down people like nobody's business when you watch those roasts. Well, she's hosting this show, and apparently, this show it's a reality show. $100,000 are on the line. Three women have been selected, very attractive young ladies, and and 12 guys. Are picked to be F boys, and 12 guys are nice guys. They've got to figure out and end up with a nice guy and get rid of all the F boys throughout the show. So, and they all are in fantastic shape. All these dudes got abs.
Of course.
All these dudes are in great shape. and there are shirts off through the whole trailer. But it looks like one of those nutty shows like Temptation Island, whatever. And of course, you have the moment with the two girls, like, we're so smart. We're going to figure this out. It's like, no, you're not.
Oh, no.
No, you're not at all. Not in any way. You're all in the same.
Well, because it's such a limited amount of time to get to know somebody.
Exactly. That's a great point. Regardless of intelligence, you're right. That's such a limited amount of time to get to know somebody. So it's not, yeah, it's not going to be easy at all. But I saw the trailer and I was like, oh man, this is madness. And I think people are going to totally watch this thing. But some violence breaks out, of course.
What? People fight?
Yeah, can't have a reality show without dudes getting... I mean, you put 24 guys around each other, they're going to start fighting.
I just thought boys didn't have beef like that.
Shit. You can't have five dudes in the room in a schmodown, and those are nerds, without them fighting with each other. So I can't imagine 24 dudes in fantastic shape who are all heterosexual trying to get with those three girls. Please, it's going to... you know, fists
kind
are going
like
to go
flying. Kind of like a bachelor situation.
Exactly.
A little bit, yeah.
And then the other one is which is a complete 180, is Joe Bell. This is the new one coming with Mark Wahlberg as the star. And I want to make sure I get this correct in terms of who the other person is in this. Connie Britton is in it, of course. Gary Sinise, yes, is in it as well. And the basic premise of this is, and it's a true story, it's based on a true story of a small town working class father who embarks on a solo walk across the United States to crusade against bullying after his son is tormented in high school for being gay. So really, really powerful stuff here. I think Reed Miller is who, or Maxwell Jenkins plays his son. They both have the last name of Bell. He's got last name of Bell. So I don't know which one he's actually playing his son, who is the gay son who got bullied. So this is a true story. And I like this a film because it looks just like the Stillwater. It looks like you've got Wahlberg, you got Damon. These guys are playing these small town country people, but yeah, you know, you could judge them by just how they look, but they're showing you there's more to them than you think, and they got more depth of humanity and complexity. And I love that we're getting more films like this, so that even the most liberal are challenged to kind of come to the water a little bit and kind of look at these movies and take a look at this and see what their feelings are. Because like I said, this is based on a true story. So I've got a screening of it, or I've been offered a link to it. So I'm going to end up watching it sometime in the next few days, but I hope it's good. I saw Stillwater last night. All I'm going to say, I fucking loved it. So
I can't wait to watch it.
So I hope Joe Bell is as good, or at least a little bit lower than Stillwater, which is still in the pretty good category overall. So I hope I enjoy it. And that's what I'm looking forward to and coming soon. So
amazing.
All right, let's move on to our reviews and recommendations, but let's do recommendations first. If we got time, we'll do some reviews. What do you got, Wendy?
For my recommendation, drum roll. We needed like a drum roll effect. Brrr. I want to recommend a very cute, very lighthearted, all ages, all family series that is on Disney Plus, Monsters at Work.
Ah, yes.
So this is just super cute, and I wanted to bring something that was kind of a little bit different, because we talk about like a lot of nerdy stuff here, but I mean, it's still nerdy, but we break it up. And this is, in fact, takes place right after the events of Monsters, Inc., the movie.
Mm.
So it features a new scarer, Tyler, who have graduated top of his class from Monsters University, which is also another Pixar film, kind of a prequel to Monsters, Inc. And so excited for his first day on the job, you know, to be a scarer, going on the scare floor to find out that, Water News has been arrested, and we're not scaring anymore. We're now making people laugh. And because the laughing energy is actually more effective than the scare energy, and his kind of journey through, oh God, what am I doing here? This is what I've worked towards my entire life, and now it's nothing like it. And it's a very cute series. If you just need a little break from news of the world or whatever, maybe sit down, take some time. Animation, super cute. And Billy Crystal and John Goodman are back to voice their respective roles. So there's that to look forward to as well. Yeah.
How many episodes are out of it so far?
So far, I think there's two or three.
Okay.
So it is like a weekly release. And it's not like, you know, like Loki, where you're like, hurry up and watch it, or it's going to get ruined for you. it's not like that. Let's see. Currently, right. I want to say there's three episodes up.
Okay, three. Oh, that's easy. You can rip through that in an hour and a half. No problem.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. These are under half an hour because you got to think the credits take up like seven to 10 minutes because of all the, you know, international voice actors credits as well.
Right. It's like Mandalorian. It's like 20 minutes of credit per episode. You're right. It's so true. yeah, that's great. Okay, I'll take a look at it because I've been on the fence about it, but I'm definitely going to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's super cute. Now talk to me about Catch and Kill.
Yeah, this, as I was mentioning,
you've been teeing up for this.
Yeah, a little bit earlier in the show, I was mentioning this, and it's out on HBO Max now. I'm not an HBO Max shill, it's just currently what I'm what's grabbing my attention this week on the streaming services. And I have really been enjoying this show. They dropped the first two episodes. I'm going to try to shake that tree and get all the episodes. I've been able to do that for Ronan versus Pharaoh and The Vow ahead of time so I could do the reviews of those. So I'm looking forward to do a review for Catch and Kill. This is basically a half hour episodes, and it's kind of a mix of a podcast format with an on-camera format. So what you've got is Ronan Farrow sitting down with the people who are involved in the Harvey Weinstein scandal. And these are the women who were involved in the situation and another reporter who at the time, I think, was working for the New Yorker and had tried to break the story himself in the late 90s or early 2000s and couldn't quite get the smoking gun that he was looking for Weinstein, but knew that Weinstein had paid off people overall. Kim Masters is on this as well. For those who don't know Kim Masters has written extensively about this kind of stuff and about Me Too for the Hollywood Reporter. She's a great reporter. I actually did an episode of The Cinephiles with Steve and Kim Masters. She was gracious to have us at her house for broadcast news. We had a really great time with her. Incredibly intelligent woman. They interview. So in the first episode, he interviews Ronan Farrow, does the woman who had recorded Harvey Weinstein trying to sexually assault her, sexually harass her. And she had signed an NDA. They had taken away the audio, but she had recorded it on her phone in her purse. So she was able to keep that on. And that is what kind of opened the floodgates for all this other stuff to happen. That's the first episode. Then the second episode is him talking with Rosanna Arquette about her experience when she went to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room to have a conversation. And she kind of pushes back on people like, well, why would you go to a hotel room? And she said, plenty of actors and directors meet in hotel rooms because there's too much attention down the lobby. There's too much. So it's easier just rent a hotel room. You sit in the living room because it's not one bedroom and you're like by the beds. No one's sleeping by the beds. You sit in the living room. So it's kind of a suite. You sit there and have the discussion about whether this person is right for your role or not. So it's not something unusual. But she speaks about her experience with Harvey and how she knew her career was effed because she didn't do. And then there's also an allusion to the two assistants of Harvey Weinstein at the time. That's going to be episode three. So this is a really interesting exploration. And it's only half an hour each. So it's a quick watch, but it's an unsettling watch. Certainly right off the bat, they start with
trigger
the
warning for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, right off the bat, you hear Harvey Weinstein's voice trying to fondle a woman's breasts. So it is not an easy, in terms of listening, watch, but it is an important watch, and I think it's an engrossing watch as well overall. And then the other show is Dr. Death. This is so cool on Peacock. My boy Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek is this doctor who is messing with life and death. And Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin are trying to catch him in the act and try to get him in trouble and hopefully stop doing these surgeries that are affecting people's lives. So this is one of those rare, rare original content from Peacock.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this. This looks fantastic. So I enjoy the first episode. I'm looking forward to seeing more. Yeah, that's what I would say.
It's like Angry Pacey.
Angry Pacey, yes.
He's angry. Joey!
You left me back here.
You left me. Turns into Dr. Death.
You went off and won an Oscar. You went off and did this, and you left me back here. so there you go. All right, we should probably wrap up. We got about 4 minutes. Anything you want to say about these movies that I listed here? Did you get a chance to watch either Gunpowder Milkshake or Space Jam?
I have to watch it tonight because Dustin's been working late. And I can't watch him without him because then I have he has to watch it and it's extra time. So either way, our reviews can't go up until both of us have seen it. So I'm just like, let me just put a pause in. But I'm so excited to see both. I have also been trying to stay away from reviews.
Oh yeah.
For both of these movies. So I muted the keywords on my Twitter so I can't see any Space Jam or Gunpowder Milkshake stuff until after. I do this for I did this for Loki too. So any upcoming stuff, just so it doesn't get ruined for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart stuff.
Did you have a good experience watching these films though?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. No, I'm not, I didn't, I'm a, yeah, I haven't done a bad review for the channel yet. And I'm trying to figure out how to do a bad review for Space Jam. Cause it's 2 hours. There's no reason a Looney Tunes live action film should be 2 hours in any way, shape, or form, but it's an hour and 56 minutes. There's no
reason. How long is the first one?
The first one's like 90 minutes. It's not even that long.
I love that first one.
Yeah. But Gunpowder Milkshake is a mother effing blast. So I loved it.
Okay, it was 88 minutes.
Yeah, and that's 88 minutes. So in and out, ladies and gentlemen, in and out. But great performances from everybody involved. I just had a great time. And that director, David Leitch ever walks away from John Wick, you find this guy immediately and get him to step in after he's gone.
We got some good fantastic. John Wick stunt, Atomic Blonde stunt action type. Nice. Absolutely.
And the stylized approach to it, I thought was stellar. So I'd be curious to hear what you think.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I've been following the film for a long time because all the actress who are involved in the film, they've been on their social media, specifically Lena Headey. She did so much like just behind the scenes messing around on the set. That's what got me interested. And I was like, what is she working on? And then one of the Instagram posts that she had was with Karen Gillan. I was like, wait, she's in this? And then it was Michelle Yeoh. Then it was I was like, wait, everybody's in this. And I was like, what is this? A female assassins. Goodness. I will watch
goodness,
it.
Goodness.
I can't wait to see.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Thank you all so much for joining us for yet another great Friday show of John and Wendy Explain the World. We appreciate you all joining us. We appreciate all of you who watch afterwards as well. And remember, the first 24 hours are the most important times on a YouTube video. So please share it amongst yourselves or share amongst your family and friends. Tell people about it. And like it, comment, leave comments down there, rather, and subscribe to the channel and hit that bell button so you get noticed when we're dropping all the things we're doing. What we can ask you is to do your part is to share this show. Tell everybody about this show on your social media. Get as many views as we can in the first 24 hours for sure. Because the show picks it up. What is it?
Oh, no, Dustin, in the comments. Oh, no. It's okay.
Thank you,
Dustin. Thank you for showing up.
I love it. Wendy, thanks again for another fun show. Where can they find you? And please plug everything you got.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at just my name, Wendy Lee Zaney, right here or right below this photo. You can find me on YouTube, of course, at the Movie Couple channel, doing a ton of trailer reactions, movie reviews, vlogs, and so much more on the channel. There's two vlogs that I still edit. One's actually a Space Jam vlog that to have up today, and I just kept on getting busy bookings, which is great. Like, booked and busy is the life we want to live, but that also means I can't be at home and like edit. I don't typically like to take my laptop to sets to edit, because also like you think you have the time, you really don't.
No,
because they need to move you, they need to be ready for this, you want to go over whatever it is that you want to do when you're in front of the camera, so you got to be focused. But those things are coming. And then hopping on Twitch every now and again, like three times a week or so, twitch.tv/WendyLeeZaney. Currently almost done with Paper Mario Origami King. We're almost done. So the next game after that, probably some type of a horror game. I don't know why I'm going to do this to myself, but it's happening. It's happening.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm on Twitch as well, as gentlemen, The Outlaw Nation, one word. I'll be doing a watch along for the NBA game tomorrow night. So I'm using Twitch like my way, sports, and then also video games. So that's what I'm doing on there and having a little fun. Might be adding some pro wrestling content with my boy Aaron Turner as well. He just bought a PS5, so ooh, we may be able to link up here and somehow do some more content on Twitch together for people to get to enjoy and have fun with as well. So yeah, go please follow Wendy at everything she does as well, and then come and hang out and do my stuff too. All right, much love.
Roka crushing it over on Twitch. Holy crap.
I'm trying. I'm doing the best.
400 followers and more. Look at the I'm peeping your channel right now. No, it looks great. It.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you.
I got to get to 3,000. Come on, Emma 5, 3,000. Lord almighty.
That girl works hard. She works very hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
real quick, Joseph yeah. Ashley, oh, no. Yeah. Mac and cheese ice cream, yes or no?
Oh, no.
No. That's no. Disgusting. I like mac and cheese. That's I like ice cream. I don't want it together.
Nope. Frank Contreras, one last super chat. Won't be surprised if the Suicide Squad is Gunn's best movie yet. No MCU shackles, a clean slate. This is why I love the DCEU. Every movie is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for better or
every
worse.
Every movie is definitely different.
Oh, it's different. All right. Yeah, that's for
yeah.
sure.
Frank,
I just got it. Sorry about that.
Frank. We got you.
Just brought it up. And I think that's it. I don't think there's any more Streamlabs or Super Chat. So let's get on out of here and get on with the rest of our Fridays. And you all get on with the rest of your Friday. Have yourself a great weekend. Be safe. Hey, be safe. This thing is starting to come back. Wear your mask. Wash your hands.
Don't get sick. Don't get other people sick. Gabriel Iglesias just got sick. He got COVID.
Oh, no. See?
On his birthday. He announced it on his birthday. He had to cancel all of his shows.
Oh, my God.
So he can recover. See? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Don't get this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going out tonight and wearing a mask the whole time. Kiss my ass. All right. Yeah. I love you. We love you. And we'll talk to you next time on another brand new episode of John and Wendy Explain the World. Peace.